Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can come into the presence of our Lord on this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all of the good things that God has done. The announcements have been before you on the screens as you've been gathering, so I hope you've taken an opportunity to take a look at all of those and apprise yourself of events that are happening both here in our own congregation and throughout the broader community and church. A couple of things to draw to your attention. This evening at St. Knox St. Paul's United Church at 7 p.m., the Knox St. Paul's Choir is putting on a Earth Day hymn festival, and they have invited the St. John's Choir to join them, so we will be there as well. So at 7 o'clock tonight at Knox St. Paul's, if you wish to join and gather and sing some hymns that speak of the magnificence of God's creation. A reminder of the Bible study that will be beginning this coming Wednesday evening. I should have given myself an extra week off, but I didn't. We're starting right back up again with the study on Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. So please make note of that. There's an insert in the bulletin regarding the paint night. Spaces are limited. In fact, who knows, they might have filled up while you were gathering here this morning. So if you are interested in participating in that, leap early. And the other one that I would particularly draw to folks' attention is the Leading with Care workshop that is being sponsored by the Presbytery of Seaway Glengarry. Leading with Care is the Presbyterian Church's policy on the protection of children, youth, and vulnerable adults. Every now and then, the policy gets updated, and it's good for us as leaders in the congregation in particular to stay apprised of that. And there's a workshop coming up on May the 4th. So all elders, faith and nurture folks, Sunday school teachers, all that sort of folks are reminded of that and invited to attend. The rest of the announcements we will leave for your perusal throughout the day. Before we begin worship, one brief final announcement one brief appearance from our two friends.
Well, Myrtle, here we are at the conclusion of our Easter Fogo. Oh, I love saying that.
Yes, you do, Mildred. Yes, you do. But you're right. It was a blast doing these skits, seeing all the wonderful donations come in, and putting the chairs up on the windows in the McClellan room. It really was fun.
I'm so glad we decided to bring one of the chairs so that all the people could get to see what they look like.
Me too. Hey, Clyde's sitting on our chair. They must be really comfortable.
Yes, they're so comfortable, he's having a snooze on it.
Clyde isn't a spring chicken anymore. Maybe
Myrtle, enough with the old already.
I'm just messing with you. I sat on one of the chairs and they are comfortable. Let's not disturb him.
Good idea. Well, everyone, the campaign is over and we're here to give you the results. We were able to purchase 110 new chairs and 6 dollies that will allow us to store them very comfortably in the old cub room. We also had enough money to have the cupboards removed from the walls and to have them disposed of. And finally, there will be enough money to purchase paint and cover the cost of having the room repainted this summer. We are truly grateful to the WOC for their generous donation towards getting this very important project done. We also give a huge shout out to all of you who donated to our Easter BOGO. I just had to get that in there one more time.
Thank you, everyone. And if you would like to see the results that Mildred talked about, please feel free to go down to Caldwell Hall after the service and have a look in the old Cub Room. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Bye.
And as we come into our worship service this morning, we light the Christ candle. It's a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his path. Our opening call to worship for this morning will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. We come to God, our holy shepherd, as we come to a green meadow.
God prepares a place for us, and we give glory in God's presence.
How excellent is this dwelling place under the eyes of God's care.
We turn to God in joy. Our good shepherd provides for all our needs.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Providing God, in our journey of faithfulness, we graze in the pastures you lead us to each day. As we move along, our steps may seem aimless, and yet you keep watch and never leave. When we are tired, you prepare a table for us. When we are thirsty, your cup of goodness and mercy overflows. When we are lost, you seek us out. And oh, how our hearts leap when you call to us, for we know your voice and feel your love. Dearest God, we are so grateful that your staff of righteousness leads us home. Be with us in this hour of worship and guide our thoughts during this time. Amen. Our hymn for this morning is number 11, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I Shall Not Want." Hymn number 11 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Thank you.
If we are honest with ourselves, our hearts condemn us. But God, who knows everything, is greater than our hearts. And God's deep desire for us is mercy, love, and peace. Therefore, let us come confessing our sin as we say together the prayer of confession, as it appears before you on the screen. O God, you have called us to love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. You have laid down your life for us and commanded us to lay down our lives for one another. Still, O God, we offer empty thoughts and prayers when the world needs our hands and our feet. Still, O Lord, we fail to share our lives with the world, hiding behind a myth of independence. Forgive us, we pray, and by your forgiveness, raise us in life in you. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. God promises, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And once more we turn in praise as we sing the hymn, This is My Father's World, number 238, number 328 in the Book of Praise. And as we come this morning, Roy, if you can change that slide to the next one, just so that you have a nice and brighter view of what's going on this morning. We're putting together the slides for this coming, for today, and mindful of the fact that today is it today? Tomorrow is Earth Day, yes. Tomorrow is Earth Day, so keeping in mind all of those things. And we, of course, you will hear in a moment, if you haven't picked up from the worship already, Psalm 23 as our responsive psalm. And so we went looking for the appropriate image. And I don't know, Dan, but it looks awful close, doesn't it? To the BC Rockies, the right kind of shading on the mountains for those who have never lived and spent a whole lot of time in Cranbrook or Kimberley. Dan, of course, is from Kimberley. That's why I asked Dan. And I spent a summer in working in Fort Steele. And through Fort Steele came the Moy River. And so there was a vista every morning if you went to the back of the site that looked very similar to this. The only difference was the fact that the river was turquoise and not blue. It was a particular, very, very turquoise. It was a particular thing with the minerals that were in the mountains and the waters. Now, did the Moy River go through Kimberley, Dan? No. Didn't quite go through Cranbrook either. But if you drove south out of Cranbrook and through this area on the highway, you crossed the Moy River about 1,000 times because it would do this, and then it would do that, and then it would do this, and then it would do that. So you were never far from it. It's the Kootenai, not the Moy? Well, where's the Moy then? Maybe it's the Moy that was in somewhere there's the Moy, because I remember crossing it on my drive to Dutch Harbor Camp. But we're mindful this morning of these wonderful images and the wonderful refreshment that comes at springtime as we gather and celebrate Earth Day and are mindful of the world in which we live and the great blessings that are ours. So as we continue in our worship this morning, this image will remain behind the slides for you as a reminder of the great things that God gives us in God's world. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Living God, with joy we celebrate the presence of your risen word. Enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, so that we may proclaim the good news of eternal and abundant life given to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading for this morning is from the book of Acts, Chapter 4, verses 5 to 12. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the Son that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Our responsive psalm is the 23rd psalm, and you'll see it on the screen. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Our next reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 16 to 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's good and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth and will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ, of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. Our hymn is hymn 256, Now the Green Blade Riseth.
Mary.
And just to put a finer point on a debate from earlier this morning, you will note J-E-S-U-S apostrophe in the hymn pronounced Jesus with no usus. Just saying. There was a long and protracted discussion in the choir room before church this morning about the pronunciation of the possessive of Jesus' name. Friends, listen now for the gospel of John's reading from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus was speaking to his disciples when he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. For there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down and have power to take it up again. I have received this command from the Father." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Sufficient. Language is a funny thing. As a preacher, I'm acutely aware of the weight of and the significance of words. Words have power. Power to convey meaning. Power to build up. Power to tear down. And the entire message that one is attempting to convey can be completely negated by a poorly chosen word. As I was preparing for this moment and meditating upon the scriptures that you've just heard read, I arrived at the word sufficient for this week's sermon title. And I'm going to stand by it. I really do. But the more I worked with it, the more I thought, well, sometimes sufficient doesn't mean sufficient. Or sometimes sufficient means something completely different, doesn't it? The Merriam-Webster dictionary defines sufficient as enough to meet the needs of a situation. Enough to meet the needs of a situation. And certainly that's a perfectly fine definition of the word sufficient, isn't it? Even today's reading from Psalm 23 speaks of the sufficiency of God. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He is sufficient. Indeed, that line is the inspiration for why I chose the sermon title. And yet, using the word sufficient almost seems insufficient, doesn't it? I suppose it's really a matter of degree. Often I think when we speak about having enough of something to complete a particular task, we look at things in terms of having just enough to get by. Right? Have to do a little patchwork on some paint around the house. You go down, you open up the can from when you painted the room, and you look in and you go, "I think I have enough to do what I need to do. That will be sufficient." But as people of faith, we know that that is not what we mean when we speak of the sufficiency of God, is it? When we speak of the sufficiency of God, we have a completely different understanding of the word sufficient. We do not look at God, look to God for the bare minimums to get us by, do we? But rather we look to Scripture in which the promise is made that God gives blessing in excess. God blesses us with abundance, enough to enjoy for ourselves and to spare so that we can share it with others. To believe in a sufficient God is to have faith in one who blesses us with blessings that are beyond all of our measures. God is sufficient. And in that case, we mean that we need absolutely nothing else. God is all in all. That is the sort of blessing that the author of Psalm 23 has in mind as he writes those words. He writes about green pastures and still waters, of deliverance from darkened valleys heavy with fear of evil, and of a meal that is set before one's enemies. Not a happy meal with cheeseburgers and a side of fries. That would be enough. That would be sufficient, wouldn't it? But that's not what the psalmist says. The psalmist says it's a meal where he will be welcomed and he will be anointed with oil, and the cup of wine that is placed on the table before him will be filled so full that it spills over the sides and runs down onto the tablecloth. The cup runs over with God's blessings because God is sufficient like that. Psalm 23 is one of those great psalms of faith, right? It speaks to the hearts of people in a way that is incomparable. People who have nothing to do with the church know Psalm 23. It describes a God who doesn't just bless us with the bare essentials, those things that we're going to need to get by, but with the abundance of those things that really matter and enough to spare, a God who blesses us in ways that we can't imagine. What a wonderful God it is that we place our trust in him. And yet, as always, the questions that arise is, how do we use the blessings that God has given us? While the promise of the psalm is verdant pastures beside cooling waters, we hear in the news each week of the degradation of the creation, of the earth in which we live. How green grass is failing to grow because of drought. And streams are being polluted with microplastics and forever chemicals, or rendered undrinkable by algae blooms. And that's just here. Forget things that are happening around the world. This past week, if you were following the news, as I did, I happened upon a story about efforts to conserve water across southern Alberta, from Red Deer on down, so the entire half of the province of Alberta. Rebecca Schultz, who is Alberta's Minister of Environment, noted that this is the largest water-sharing agreement in Alberta's history, the aim of which is to save 10% of the water that is currently being used. These agreements have been enacted because of the increasing risk of drought across the Canadian prairies. And while the press release from the Alberta government did not mention climate change, it didn't. The reality is that that's what lies behind the drought. In every page of the document, it was addressing the reality of a climate that is changing. And already this year, forest fire experts are beginning to speak of the fires that will once more ravage the forests of our country again. Up and down the east coast of this country in the United States, the Atlantic shrimp fishery is closing due to the warming of the Atlantic Ocean. And regardless of what half of the political spectrum wants to say, Axe the Tax is an effective political tool, but it's death for a country, an economy, and its citizens. Regardless of how provincial governments choose to frame this discussion, climate change is an unavoidable reality and its consequences will be devastating, and it will be devastating for everyone. Imagine. A couple of weeks ago, Deloitte and Touche, now they're just Deloitte. Deloitte released a study on the economics of the oil industry in the next 5 to 10 years. And they predicted a crisis in the oil industry because they will lack the water that the oil industry needs to move the oil and do the refining process because of the droughts that will become a reality. And so if you think carbon taxes are expensive, imagine how expensive it will be when the oil companies have to truck the water to do the refining. These are the issues of our age. When I came here, and I was going to say, I just about slipped and said, when I came here 3 years ago, and man, some days it feels like 3 years ago. Some days it feels like I've been here forever. That's just how the last few years have been. But when I came here a while ago, I noted that one of the things that I think had to be the priority of any church as we moved forward from 2019 onward had to be how we dealt with the environment and the climate. I'm still convinced that that's the case. I hope you are too. But from a theological perspective, forget the political, forget the practical. From a theological perspective, it seems to me that what we see all around us in these stories that we read in the newspapers is nothing less than the denial of the benevolence of our God. The God who provides us with all that we need and more, right? We've established already that when we say sufficient God, we just don't mean we're going to get by. But we mean that God will be our all in all, and God will provide us with the richness of life. But we take it for granted, and we treat it as if it is not important. We treat it as if it is not a blessing. And so as we come once more to another Earth Day and we see the words just pass before us on a calendar like all the other days that are noted on the calendar, that we just kind of, oh yeah, today's World Laundry Day. That was Monday, by the way. I reminded Colleen as she was doing the laundry. It was World Laundry Day. But these things we need to pay attention to. And as Christians, we need to respond to. Because, as I mentioned, like the examples I gave are just a few. And they're just us. They're totally selfish. It does not take into account droughts that are occurring around the world or flooding that is happening here and there. If you saw the pictures of the jet planes floating in the jet fighters floating in the underground hangars in Dubai, floating. because they had had so much rain in Dubai that the underground bunkers where the fighter jets are kept were completely flooded. This is the world in which we live. And it is the world, to some extent, that we have made. And it is the world that God calls us to care for. The first command in Scripture is to care for creation. That God has made us stewards of the beauty and the wonder that God has made. So as we turn toward another Earth Day tomorrow, and think about what that means. And while we're more than happy to say, well, but it doesn't matter to us because, you know, there are other people in the world who are destroying the world faster than we are. Well, that is the weirdest argument in the world, is it not? We're all doing destructive things, but they're doing it worse than we are, so we're better. Or we should do nothing. It's not an excuse. We're called to be the stewards of God's creation and to care for it, to find new ways, to be innovative in what we do as a society, to be faithful in what we do as Christians, because the faithful use of God's resources in this world is a Christian calling. So as we turn that calendar tomorrow, let us be mindful. Let us become aware. Find something that you can read that continues to keep you engaged in this struggle and this fight, because it is too easy to ignore. And in all things, let us seek to give God glory and glory to God's creation, for it is a wonderful gift that God gave to us. It is good in the eyes of God, so it should be good in our eyes too. Amen. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and yet refuses to help a brother or a sister who is in need? Remembering God's great love for the world, let us offer our lives to the Lord as we present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Eternal God, take and use these gifts for your purpose in the world. Give food to the hungry, hope to the despairing, and new life to the dead. Teach us to live each day for you, so that future generations will know your goodness and praise your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Shepherd God, you are the Lord of stone-crested mountains and shepherd of living streams. Your flocks are robins and sparrows. Your herds swirl around us. Our rivers and streams are rich with fish. And us, your people, you care for. Creator God, in your design, you gather us together with one another and draw us closer to you. Forgive us, then, for the destruction of your holy places, your flowing streams, your herds, and your flocks. We have darkened the valley. We have polluted your earth. We have brought war and discord and greed into your communities. And so now we turn to you in prayer. Holy God, help us to rise from our sorrow, for this is the season of Easter. We will fear no dark place, not where waters churn over cliffs, not in the deep underground of crystal waters, not in the crevices of limestone or any other darkened place. For you are God and you are with us. We will restore the wild wheat and herald the crocus. Our cups plunged into the cool streams will overflow once more, and we will rest as one community in the meadow of your love. Hold us ever within your careful promises and remind us daily of the blessings that are ours, ours to enjoy, ours to tend, and ours to share. Hear us now as we continue to pray in the name of Jesus, the prayer that he taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is 482 in the Book of Praise. Christ is made the sure foundation, number 482.
Christ is made the sure foundation.
Friends, in the name of the Good Shepherd, let us go forth loving one another. And may the goodness and mercy of God follow you all the days of your life. And at your life's end, may you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Alleluia. Amen.